All right. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good morning to all you fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. Hopefully you get a day off. Probably not, but anyway. Actually, we probably get a day off more than moms get on Mother's Day, but glad you guys are here this morning. Quick announcement. We have coming up the end of this week at Grace Harbor Four Square Church in Central Park, a parenting conference. So if you're needing some help, some guidance in that arena, I encourage you to check that out. You can scan that QR code or you can go out to the Connection Center out front and find out from more information about that. But yeah, I think there's any opportunity you can as a parent to get some guidance and help is good. I'm always asking for advice. So the only other thing I have this morning is we have a raffle for these black stones up here. So if you're a father and you did not get a raffle ticket, please raise your hand. We'll have somebody come around. Okay, keep your hands up, and we'll get an usher to come by and to give you one. All right, keep your hand up. Keep your hand up, and we will make sure you get a ticket here. How many of you in here have a black stone already? I have one. I think it's amazing. Who needs a ticket? Who else needs a ticket? All right. One more in the back. Two more in the back. You still need a ticket? You're trying to get two tickets? I don't know. Let's be honest up in here. All right. As you guys can see, I've got some different things up here on the stage. We've got a fishing pole. How many are fishermen? We got fishermen up in here? All right. What about hunters? We got any hunters? Few hunters. I should have brought like a baseball bat and a glove, a basketball. How many golfers do we got in here? Okay, we got a few golfers. Pastor Doug, you're not raising your hand. I know you're a golfer. A proud golfer at that. All right. How many have chopped a cord of wood or two? All right. That's a man's man right there. Yeah. Maybe I'll try to split that in the next service. No. Yes. All right. We got everybody? We ready? Mixed, you can draw.
Oh, I can draw?
All right, who do we got? Okay.
Am I going to say it? Or you
I'll say it. Okay, 207-043-8.
Yes!
Are you serious? Nuh-uh. Did you put two tickets in there?
No.
Let me see. All right. Oh, she prayed. You know, that means the rest of y'all didn't pray hard enough. All right, you can grab it at the end of service. All right. How many want to see me try to split this?
Yes.
No? Okay. Actually, this is my axe, and the head's a little loose. I don't think. Crazy story. You want to hear a crazy story? It's actually a miracle I'm here today. Back when I was like 6 or 7 years old, my dad had this axe that the head was loose on, and he said, don't ever use this around anybody because the axe head could fly off and hit somebody. Well, one day, as she backs away, he's chopping wood in the proximity of me, and guess what? The axe head flew off, and it rotated. And by the goodness and grace of God, the blunt side of it hit me square in the forehead. So it's a miracle I am here today. So I won't do that to y'all today. Thank you. All right. Before we get into today's message, let's pray, okay? Lord God, we just thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Holy Spirit, we invite you here today to speak to us. Let us be changed and transformed by the power of your word so that we can be the people you've called us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Today's message is, the title is Man Up. And for all of you who did not win a Blackstone, at the end of service, I have these little stickers that you can grab on the way out. It says Man Up. You can put them on your coffee cups, your water bottles, whatever you want. But the phrase man up means this: displaying bravery or toughness in the face of adversity. Displaying bravery or toughness in the face of adversity. It's not brave or tough to stand up when there's really not any adversity going on. All right, 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this: be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying, hey, we need some men to stand up, to be watchful, to act like God called them to act, to be strong. And we need some manly men. We as men need to be the leaders God has called us to be. Not take a back seat. Not let other people do it. Definitely not let this world do it. And so this morning we're going to look at a character in the Bible. But before we do, I want to just give us a little background. This is going to come from the time when God leads the children of Israel out of Egypt and they're going to the promised land. And if you read in Numbers chapter 13, they get to the edge of the promised land, and Moses gathers a group of men and sends out groups into the promised land to go spy it out and see what it is like. And so he sends these men out to go look and see what this area, this land looks like. And they go, and after several days, maybe weeks, they come back and they bring this report back to Moses. And they say, man, this land is amazing. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got great pasture land, great forests. Like, it has everything that we would need, everything that God has promised. It's amazing. Except there's a problem. There's many fortified cities there with many strong and mighty warriors. We actually even saw giants. And when we saw them, our hearts began to melt. And we can't go in there and we can't possess this land that God has said he is going to give to us. And so they begin to paint this fearful picture. Like, it's great, but there's no way we can go in and take it. Caleb, actually, one of the spies, he says, no, we actually can do it. I believe we can do it. And the people shout him down. They're like, no, we can't. Actually, let us go back to Egypt. Let us go back to where we were. At least we had food. Even though we were slaves, at least we knew we had food every day. And another man speaks up at this time. This is the man we're going to look at today. His name is Joshua. And in Numbers 14, it says this: if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. I saw what you saw. I saw the fortified cities. I saw the mighty warriors. I saw the giants that you fear. Don't fear them. Guess what? I'm not afraid of them. And guess what? They are our bread. He's saying, we can devour them. And the same people who are like, no, that's too much for us. We can't do it. Josh is like, don't be afraid. Not only can we win this area and take it over, we are going to devour them. They are going to be fearful of us. But because of their unbelief and because of their fear, God actually has the children of Israel wander around in the desert for about 40 years until that generation kind of died off. But Joshua was a bold dude. He was a man's man. He was somebody who was not afraid. Like, if he was here today, he'd put all of us to shame. Like, he was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was like, let me at him. I don't care how high the mountain is. I'm going to climb it. I don't care how big the dude is. I'm going to bring him down. Because my God is with me, and he fights with me, and he fights for me. And I trust in him. So he saw the giants, and he didn't fear. So who was this man? Who was Joshua? This one of the spies that went into this promised land and made this bold declaration. He was actually Moses' assistant as they came out of Egypt and wandered around in the desert, and somebody that was constantly at his side. And it was actually Moses did something that God told him not to do. Therefore, God said, you are not going to go into the promised land. Moses tells the people, it's this man, Joshua, who is actually going to lead you into the promised land. And when it is time for them to actually walk into the promised land, and Moses had passed on, God speaks to Joshua as a crossover, and he says this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. It says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is reminding Joshua again what he even spoke with his mouth, that you need to continue to be strong and courageous and know that I am with you wherever you go. Remember those cities. Remember those giants. I'm still with you. Do not fear. It's game time. This last 40 years, I was practicing. It's game time. And I am with you. And do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. Joshua then, with this command, leads them by another miracle. God actually leads them through the Jordan River. He splits the Jordan River just like he split the Red Sea, and they walk through on dry ground into the promised land, and Joshua begins to lead the people of Israel through the power and strength of God into victory after victory after victory. Joshua, like I said before, was a man's man. He was a warrior. He was a fighter. He was strong. He was full of faith. He was courageous. And he was a man that inspired the people around him to go after the things that he felt God calling him to do. In Joshua 1, actually 16, it says this. It says, and they, being the people, answered Joshua as he's telling them, this is what we're going to do. It says, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. That's a bold statement. Hey, whatever you tell us to do, we're going to do it. We're with you, heart and soul. And Joshua had the heart of the people. They saw his faith. They saw his courage. And because of his courage, they were encouraged and they were emboldened. And they were filled with faith. So how did Joshua become this great man of courage and faith? Become this very bold dude who would say, I've seen the giants, but we're going to devour them. We're going to slay them. That just doesn't happen. I think I'm going to go tackle some giants today. It does not just happen. I want to read a passage of scripture here, and we're going to rewind a few years. Before Joshua ever goes into the promised land and leads the people into victory, It says this in Exodus 33, verse 7. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of the cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Moses regularly spent time face to face with God, spending time with him, hearing him. Now look at this. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. As Moses sought the face of God, Joshua was right there with him. And as Moses departed, Joshua was like, I don't want to leave. God, you're so good. Your presence is so good. I love hearing your voice. And as I know, as God spoke to Moses, Joshua was right there listening. And as Joshua lingered, I know God was speaking to him as well. And Joshua diligently sought the face of God, diligently continued to be in his presence. And as he continued to spend time with God, spend time in his presence, and listen to him and hear his voice, it encouraged him and it strengthened him and it emboldened him to be a man that he could not be on his own strength. Because now he was not just trying to conjure up his own faith, his own strength. He was filled with the strength of God, the Holy Spirit himself. And it emboldened him. And he knew where his strength came from. And he knew the voice of God. And he knew that when God spoke, because he knew his voice, because he had spent enough time in his presence, he knew that when God spoke to go take a city, to lead the people into the promised land, and to come against these fortified cities and these giants, he knew that he would win. Because he knew the voice of God. And he knew that he was going to go before him and fight with him. One of the teams that I played on, I think it was in college for baseball. And any of you who have ever played a sport, you know before game time, there's much practice. Much times rehearsing and repeating and practicing different skills and learning different plays and getting strategy from your coach. And so one year, one of the practices for baseball, I don't think you would be allowed to do this anymore, but our coach said, okay, I want you guys to pair up. We're going to practice this today. I want you to pair up. One of you guys, you're going to get on your knees. And so we'd get on your knees, on our knees. He's like, and your partner is going to stand about 10 feet away from you, and he's going to drill you with baseballs. And we're like, wait, what? He's like, okay, your partner's going to throw it into the ground, and it's going to bounce and hit you in the chest. You're going to do this 10 times, and then you're going to switch, and then you get to do it. Actually, kind of became a competition after a while. It's like, how many bruises can we put on each other's chest and just throw them into the ground? But what we were training to do is learn how to, one, not flinch, two, learn how to properly square up so that the baseball would drop right in front of us, because if we flinched, the ball would deflect off into the outfield. So we practiced and we learned how to square up, not be afraid, but take the ball right off the chest. And when that happened, the ball would drop right in front. We were able to pick it up and then make the play and make the out. And so, again, I don't think we could probably do that today. Hey, little Johnny, you're going to go bean Billy 10 times. But we learned a skill and it helped us. Where am I going with that? Oh, yes. We're training in practice to be prepared for game time. And because of our coaches, knowledge and unique way of training us up, we were prepared in a way to where we could win or be equipped to win the game. Another thing that you learn in baseball, it's not so, I mean, I guess there's different signals and stuff in other sports, but in baseball, have you ever heard baseball signs? You ever watched base coaches give signs? It's another language that you have to learn, and you can't learn it just by, I mean, it takes time to learn. So I'm just going to do a demonstration for you really quick, and you're going to, yeah, it'll be funny. That's pretty stinking accurate, actually. And you were supposed to know what that means. And if you didn't, and you messed it up, you got benched. But you could only know what that meant if you spent time learning it, and we did in practices over and over again, time after time, because our coach is like, you can't mess this up. If you mess this up, it could cost us the game. And so we had to learn this language. We had to know this communication so that we could be successful come game time. Joshua spent time in the presence of God, and he knew God's voice so clearly that come game time, he knew when God was communicating to him, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to march around a city seven times and shout. Wait, what? What kind of battle strategy is that? No, I know the voice of God. I know the communication. I know this is what we are supposed to do. When I was younger, we had a game where the pitchers were just on. Both pitcher was just dominating. Nobody was doing anything. There was only like a couple hits all game. Nobody was scoring whatsoever. And about two-thirds of the way through the game, the pitcher ended up actually walking me. And I think at the time there was maybe one out. And so my coach, like, I was like, probably thinking this is our opportunity. So he gave me some signs. And I knew because of lots of practice, that sign meant steal. So I stole. A couple pitches later, he gave me the sign again. And I was like, okay. So I ended up stealing third. And now, because of knowing the sign, knowing the communication, I'm set up in prime scoring position. And I think the batter who was up ended up striking out. So now we were down to our last out in this inning, and I'm sitting at third. First pitch goes by. I think it's a strike. And then my coach comes to me. He's like, hey, I've noticed something. The catcher, when he catches the ball, he's not paying attention to you. So this next pitch, I want you, as soon as he stands up to throw it back to the pitcher, I want you to take off for home. I'm like, okay, this is bold, this is risky, but I'm going to trust my coach that he sees something that I haven't picked up on yet. So in comes the pitch. Catcher just stands up and gets into his throwing motion, and I take off for home. Before he could realize what was happening, the ball left his hand back towards the pitcher, and I came and I slid across home before even, I think, a return throw. Scored the run. And I think it was the batter on the very next pitch struck out, and that was the third out, end of the inning. We ended up winning that game 1-0. Yeah, Jimmy. It wouldn't have happened if I did not know the secret language, if I did not know the communication from the coach. Joshua would not have been able to accomplish what he accomplished if he did not know the communication of God. But he knew because he spent so much time in his presence. And so he was confident, not in his own ability, but in God's power and ability. So if you want to be like Joshua, if you want to be a man's man, the man that God has purposed you to be, who's bold, strong, and courageous, you need to spend time in God's presence. You need to spend time with the one who strengthens you and emboldens you. You need to spend time in his word and get his truth on the inside of you. This country, this world needs men to seek the face of God.
to be in his presence, to know his voice, to know where he is leading and where he is going, to know that he is with you so that you can march boldly, so that you can be strong in the face of adversity. And if you do that, if you spend time in the presence of God, you will end up being the father, the husband, the employee, the brother, the friend that you've been purposed to be. Our families, your family, needs you to be the man that God has called you to be. Your employer needs you to be the man that God has called you to be. And this is not just for men. This applies to you ladies as well. If you spend time in the presence of God, you will be the person that God has called you to be. But if you do not spend time in his presence, you can't do it on your own. You can try and you can try and you can try and beat your head against the wall and say, why am I not the person that I feel like I should be? Because you're not spending time in God's presence. I say this, being bold and courageous might look a little bit differently than you think. It might look like being on your knees on the altar, at the altar on a Sunday. It probably will look like, I know it will look like, leading your family and reading God's word together and praying together, showing humility and admitting when you're wrong. It's okay to admit when you've made a mistake and to ask for forgiveness. That's not weakness. The world says that's weakness, but it's actually strength. To tell people that you love them. Love is not a sissy word. Love is a very powerful word. And many times, men, manly men, won't say I love you because they're afraid of what people might think of them. Afraid that people might view them weak, but key in on that, they're afraid. So that actually is weakness. Fear is weakness. But being strong enough and bold enough and man enough to say, hey, I love you, that's strength. That's a man's man. Marcus, I love you.
Love you, Jamie.
I love you too, Craig. So God told Joshua to be strong and courageous and not to turn from his word. So we need to read his word. We need to know it. We need to follow it. We need to know his voice. It must have sounded weird to Joshua when God gave him the instructions to come against Jericho. He's like, Joshua, today you're not going to use your swords or your spears or your bows against the city. Okay? You're actually going to use the trumpets and the harps. Say what? It doesn't say that Joshua questioned that. It says that Joshua relayed that plan to the people. This is what we're going to do, guys. We're going to march around the city for 7 days. On the seventh day, we're going to sing and we're going to shout and the walls are going to fall down. And the people said, okay. Wherever you told us to go, we will go. Whatever you told us to do, we will do. Yeah. Joshua was confident in knowing that he could carry out that battle plan because he knew the voice of God, because he had spent time in his presence. Men, you need to spend time with God. You need to spend time in the Word, reading daily. You need to spend time in prayer. Praying for yourself for strength, praying for your family, praying for wisdom that you can lead your family well and be the man that God has called you to be. We need men today who will man up and get in God's presence, man up and spend time with, man up and kneel before him, kneel before the throne. Our country needs men to man up, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand. As we close this morning, we just try to do this every week, give an opportunity for anyone who does not know Jesus to know him. And I say this, that before you can man up, you need to bow down. You need to be able to bow down and surrender your life to Him, to Jesus Christ, who gave His life for you, who gave His life for us. Not because He had to, but because He loved us. He poured out that love for us. So if I could just have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. If you are here and you have never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never accepted that amazing gift of salvation and forgiveness and freedom, or maybe at one point you did, but you've walked away, you know you've lived your own life and that you are not surrendered to Him. If that's you this morning, I want to give you that opportunity. So if you are here and you need to make that commitment to Christ, can you just raise your hand? Is there anybody like that, man or woman? Is there anybody who would say, I need to give my life to Jesus and surrender this morning? I see those hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? This is for you guys online too. I see that hand. We're going to pray this prayer together. These aren't magic words, but the Bible does say, if you believe in your heart what you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. We need more people. We need more men who will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's just say this together this morning. Father God, thank you so much for loving me and for sending your Son to die in my place. Jesus, thank you for giving your life for mine, for paying the price for my sins. Please forgive me of all my sin. I surrender to you. Help me, strengthen me to be the man and the woman that you have called me to be from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, as we close, can I just have the prayer team come on up? If you need prayer for anything, it's not weakness to admit you need help. It's actually strength, because we're not supposed to do this on our own. God created us for relationship. He created us for community. He created us to lean on each other in times of need. So as we just close with some worship, please come get prayer. And just let the God of impossible step into your situation. Amen? Let's worship.